Okay, today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Nun. We are about two-thirds of the way through Maseches Avodah Zarah. We are going to start with the beginning of the fourth parak on daf Mem Tes Amud Beis. We finished the third parak yesterday. So Mishnah on daf Mem Tes Amud Beis. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Shalosh Avanim Zubitzad Markulis Asuros. That if you have three stones that are lined up one next to the other, which is not the Markulis formation. The Avodah Zarah of Markulis generally involves two stones next to each other and then one on top, built like a triangle, like a pyramid. But over here, the Mishnah is speaking about where you find three stones lined up one next to the other, but they're next to a Markulis. Those three stones happen to be next to another Markulis. So all of those stones are Asuros, Ushtayim Mutaros. But if you have two stones lined up next to each other near the Markulis, so then it's going to be Mutar. V'chachamim Omrim, Asuros, stones that look like they're together with the Markulis are Asur, Vishain Nirusimo Mutaros, but stones that don't look like they're together with the Markulis are going to be Mutar. So the Gemara is going to explain exactly what the Machlokas is, what the Metzius of the case is. We'll get to all of that. Now, Markulis in general, Rashi said on Daf Membez Amud Aleph that the way they would be Oved or Markulis is they would start off a simple stone formation of three stones, two next to each other and one on top, like we said, like a pyramid. And Kol Haba Zorik La Even Vihi Avodasa. Rashi had said on Daf Membez that anyone who wanted to come worship the Markulis would throw another stone on it. So by continuing to pile stones on it, that was the Derech Avoda of Markulis. Now, Masech Sanhedrin, on Daf Samach Dalid, the Gemara says, Echad HaNotla VeEchad HaNosna Chayiv, that whether someone takes from the Markulis or puts on the Markulis their Chayiv, which implies that the Derech Avodasa is not only by throwing an extra stone onto the Markulis, it's by removing a stone from the Markulis as well. And in fact, the Rambam Hilchos Avodah Zarah Per Gimel Halach Beis writes that Markulis Avodasa SheYizrok Lo Avanim O Yisakel Yisalik Milafanav Avanim. It's one or the other. It's either putting stones on it or taking stones off of it. Interestingly, the Meiri Masech Sanhedrin Samach Gimel and Beis brings the fact that we continuously refer to Markulis by name. We keep calling it Markulis as a raya that you're allowed to mention a Shem Avodah Zarah, even if that Shem Avodah Zarah is not mentioned explicitly in the Torah, when you're doing it Kedei Lahavinu Lahoros, when you're mentioning the name in order to be able to learn, in order to be able to teach. Meaning, typically we know that there's an Isser Midar Raisa, that a person is not allowed to mention Shem Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to mention the name of an Avodah Zarah, right? That Shem Elohim Acherim, that you're not even allowed to say, even if you're not saying it in a way of trying to worship it. That's how far we go in terms of our abhorrence for Avodah Zarah. The exception, of course, is the Gemara tells us that if it's written in the Torah, so obviously it's a word of Torah. So then you're allowed to, Asherah, we're allowed to mention it's written in the Torah. You're allowed to mention any name of an Avodah Zarah, it's written in the Torah. But any other name of any later Avodah Zarah, it's not mentioned in the Torah, we're only allowed to mention a derogatory nickname for it. We can't say the actual name itself. So the Meiri says, but if it's Lahavin Laharos, if you need to learn, to be able to understand, to learn the Sugya, so then you're allowed to mention even the name of the Avodah Zarah itself. And he says the raya is that Markulis, we mentioned Markulis all over the place, and that's the proper name for the Avodah Zarah. What's interesting is if you look at Tosfos on Daf Nun Amud Aleph, skip ahead a little bit, Tosfos Dibra Maskal Avnei Beis Kulis. Tosfos says, Hikshar Rabbeinu Tam, Heich Mas Kirin Shema, Kivin Sheinu Ksuva B'Torah. How could we mention the name of this Avodah Zarah? After all, it's not mentioned in the Torah. The Perek Dal Misos Mashma Da Avar Avashem Elohim Elohim Lo Saskiru. In Maseches Sanhedrin Daf Samach Gimel, the implication is clearly that if someone mentions the name of an Avodah Zarah, they violate the Isra of Avashem Elohim Acherim Lo Saskiru. So same kash as the Meiri, and the Meiri answered, oh, so it's Mutu Lavin Lahoros. What does Tosel say? No, this is not the proper name of the Avodah Zarah. This is a derogatory nickname for the Avodah Zarah. Markulis is really making fun of the Avodah Zarah because, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Kilus Lashon Shevach Shema, V'Chachamim Kinu Osa Kulis. Really, its name is Kilus, which is Lashon of Shevach, the Lashon of praise. Kilus means to praise something. But what do the Chachamim call it? Kulis, which is lag vakeles, which is a mockery, a disgrace, that we're saying that it's despicable. Vizeu markulis chiluf kilus lashon mar dishchuta perikinanasha mar dechanta. That's the lashon of markulis is that it's the exact opposite of anything praiseworthy. So in fact, markulis is also just a derogatory nickname for the avodah zarah, not the shame of the avodah zarah itself. In fact, we saw in that Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that you're not allowed to even say the name of a city that's named after an avodah zarah, which is a major question in halacha. Half the cities in the world are named after, in Europe, lots of cities in the Far East, tons of cities are named after, every city in Greece is named after an avodah zarah of one sort or another. So that's what we pointed out, that according to many Rishonim, if the avodah zarah is no longer in use, the avodah zarah has already been batel, even if the city was named after that avodah zarah, so then the city takes on a new status, the name of that city takes on a new status. It's not really the name of an avodah zarah anymore, because there is no such avodah zarah. But as we pointed out, that causes major problems when you're dealing with cities that are named after avodah zarahs that still exist. Like in India, you have tons of cities that are named after avodah zarahs that are still in the city and that are still worshipped in the city. And the city where that terrible attack happened on the Chabad house is just one such example of a city that you're probably not allowed to say the name of the city because it's named after an avodah zarah. But anyway, so that's the avodah zarah of Markulis. So we have this machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim about stones near the Markulis, and we're not exactly sure what the Machlokas is about. So let's see. Bishlam Rabbanan, says the Gemara, I understand very well the Rabbanan who hold that it all depends whether, the Rabbanan make no distinction between the number of stones. They just say that if it appears to be together with the Markulis, then it's Aser. If it doesn't appear to be together with the Markulis, it's Mutter. So Bishlam Rabbanan Kasavri Ovdin Lashvarim, I understand very well the Rabbanan must hold that the Ovdei Kochav would worship even broken pieces of avodah zarah. So nirosimo diikal the meimar minei nafal asuros. So if it appears to be together with the original markulis, where it's very likely that it fell from the original markulis, meaning it's a broken piece off of the original markulis, that's going to be asur. Shein nirosimo mutaros. But if it doesn't appear to be together with the original markulis, so it's unlikely that it came from the original markulis, and therefore it's going to be mutar. It's just a regular stone. That makes plenty of sense. Ela Rabbi Shmuel, Maika Savar, but Rabbi Shmuel distinguishes between two rocks versus three rocks. What does he hold exactly? If he holds that the of the avodah zarah would even worship broken pieces of an avodah zarah, then afilu tatinami litzer, then he should answer even two stones. Why did he say two stones are mutter? Tosus points out who had din daven matzah the memra afilu chadinami litzer. Really, the Gemara could have said that not only two stones would be aser, even one stone would be aser. Just ela mishum de masis nakat shtayim mutaros nakat nami acha shtayim. The Gemara happens to mention the number two because that's the number mentioned in the Mishnah as what is mutter, but really the kasha would be any number of stones would be aser if they're in fact ovdin l'shvarim, e ain ovdin l'shvarim, and if they do not worship broken off pieces of markulis, afilu tlas nami lo, then even three would be okay. Because remember, an actual markulis is three stones configured in a pyramid, but these three stones are all next to each other, so they're not configured in a pyramid, so that should be totally fine if they're not ovid l'shvarim, because after all, stones that are just lying there at most are broken pieces of a markulis that have fallen apart markulis. Some Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, I'm Rav Yochanan. So he says, let's reframe the whole discussion over here. Biyodua shenashru mimenu, if you know for sure that these pieces fell off of the markulis, divrei kol asuros, everyone would say that it's aser. So that leads you to believe, oh, must be that everyone holds ovdin l'shvarim. Says Gemara, no. Even if you hold people are not oved broken pieces of an avodah zarah, random stones from Markulis, they still are oved. Why? Because hani mili avodah chavim delav hainu orche. Aval hachad meyakaritz vori mitvri hainu orche. When do we say people would not be oved l'shvarim? That's by a regular avodah zarah where it's not normal for it to just fall apart. But a markulis is made up of separate stones that aren't cemented together. They're separate units that just happen to be piled on top of each other. So it's orche, it's the derech that it's apart. So since that's the derech, that's hainu orche, so then in our case, in the markulis case, there's certainly going to be ovid l'shvarim l'kulei alma. So that's not a machlokas. If you have stones that you know came from the markulis, everyone's going to hold that it's Aser, everyone being both Shitos and our Mishnah. Keep Ligi B'Stama. The Machlokas in our Mishnah is if you have Stam, stones that are nearby a Markulis, you don't know that they fell from the Markulis. So Bimuku Ravos, Nami, Di'ikalame, Ramine, Nafal, Divrakal Asuros. If they happen to be very close to the Markulis, where it's very likely that they fell from the Markulis, so then everyone would agree it's Aser. That's also not the case where we have Machlokas in our Mishnah. What's the definition of close, Mikuravos? So Rashi gives somewhat of a vague definition. It would, if you put Rashi together with the Bach over here, Bimikuravos Ma'od, Kegon Ba'ama V'Chatzi Ama. Like, you know, an Ama away or a half Ama away, which isn't exactly a very precise shear. What if it's an amma away? Is that close enough or is that not close enough? 3/4 of an amma. What exactly is the shear? So Rashi himself doesn't seem to be particularly sure of what the shear is, but if it's very close and your judgment is that it probably fell from the Markulis, then everyone would hold that it's Asir. Ki pligi bimaruchakos. They only argue when it's far away. What's far? So again, Rashi, with the help of the Bach, Muruchakos, Rashi says, Kolomar, Bitoch arba amos, devade lav mine nafel. Meruchakos means within 4 amos, but if it's more than 4 amos away, it's not even a discussion over here. Meruchakos means within 4 amos, where it could, but it's more than very close, meaning it's more than a half an amma or an amma away, so it's not likely that it did not fall straight from the Markulis. That's where you have a machlokas, when it's, let's say, between 1 amma and 4 amos away. So, frak the Gemara, Vahabitzad Markulis Katani. How can you say that it's within 1 and 4 amos away? It says that it's right next to the Markulis. Bitzad Markulis means it's right next to it, implies that it's within a half an amma, within a tefach. It's right there. So says Gemara, no, my Bitzad Arba Amos Tidei. Now, that, how to read that line is Machlokes Rishonim. The way Rashi reads it is that it's next to the Markulis within 4 amos of the Markulis. Now, it's not how the words translate. The words translate as Bitzad Arba Amos Tidei, next to the 4 amos of the Markulis, which makes it sound like it's beyond the 4 amos. But according to Rashi, the whole discussion is only within 4 amos. According to Rashi, when it's beyond 4 amos, there's no discussion here, there's no machlokas. The whole machlokas is only within Dalet Amos. So that's why Rashi has to say Bitzad Arba Amos Tidei. According to Rashi, it has to mean that it's within 4 amos, but Bitzad the Markulis. So anyway, what's the machlokas? Rabbi Shmuel Savers, Rabbi Shmuel would hold Osin Markulis, it definitely didn't fall from the Markulis. So again, why would it be Aser? So Rabbi Shmuel holds Osin Markulis Katan Bitzad Markulis Gadol. Sometimes they'll make miniature Markulises next to the major Markulis. So Shalosh to Damil Markulis Asuros, Shtayim Mutaros. So when you have 3 stones lined up, even though they're not in the pyramid form of a Markulis, but since it's like a Markulis, that's going to be Aser. But if it's 2, where you can't even make a Markulis out of 2 stones, then it's going to be Mutar. And Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan who disagree and say that only when it's Niros Imo, it's Aser, they'll hold Enos and Markulis Katan, Bitzad Markulis Gadol. No, they never make a small Markulis next to a big Markulis. Loshna Shalosh, Loshna Shtayim, and therefore it doesn't make a difference if it's 3, 2, any number, Niros Mutaros. If it's Neros together with it, which Rashi says means is another word for Mekuravos Ma'od, very close to it, within a half an amma, within an amma, where it may have actually fallen from the Markulis, that's when it's going to be Aser. But if it has not fallen from the original Markulis, and you're pretty certain that it hasn't fallen from the original Markulis, then it's going to be Mutar, because there's no way they would set up another Markulis next to the original Markulis. There's an interesting discussion, the Ketzos and Siman Reish Samach Beis, Sifkat and Beis asks over here, the Gemara says that when it's Mekuravos, where it's Minei Nafal, where we know that it fell from the Markulis, Divrei Kol Asuros, everyone's going to say that it's Aser. Because look, it fell from the Markulis. What greater raya do you have that it fell from the Markulis than the fact that it's right next to the Markulis? In reality, there's an entire sugya in the second parak of Maseches Bava Basra of Rov Vikarov. We have a sugya Maseches Bava Basra. What if you find something near a problematic area? Do we assume that closeness is a raya to where it came from? So So let's say you find a piece of meat right next to a non-kosher butcher shop, but most of the butcher shops in town are kosher butcher shops. Which is a greater raya? The fact that it's rov stores are kosher butcher shops, or the fact that it's karov, that it's very close to the non-kosher butcher shop, right? That's a major discussion in Maseches Bava Basra, and the Gemara says very categorically and clearly, rov v'karov, holchin achar rov. Rov always beats karov. Where do we even know that karov is a raya at all, that halacha recognized karov? Rov, we know, achar rab lahatos, pasuk in the Torah. Where do we find that karov is at all an indicator of where something came from? So that's from the parsha of Egla Arufa, that's the Beis Din of the city that's closest to the dead body. So the Gemara says, wait a second, if this Beis Din of the city that's closest to the dead body, but rov, the rov is other cities in the world. So the Gemara says, no, it has to be talking about a case where there were no other cities. There are two cities between mountains, and there's no access to anywhere else, and it had to come from one of these two cities, and it was closer to one. You have to make a hechitimtza where there's no rov, there's no ruba di alma in play. So ask the Ksos HaChoshen. According to the Rosh of Maseches Bava Basra, Rosh is an unbelievable shita. Not only does rov beat karov, rov even beats tocho. Even if something is in the problematic area, forget about near the problematic area, it's inside of it, it's right there, nevertheless, rov is going to win. Rov is still adif, so he says, so why would you say that if it's found karov to the markulis over here, right next to it, and even if you want to say, well, the general vicinity is the markulis itself, still, the Ruba di Alma, Rov stones from the rest of the world, are not Markulis stones. Most of the stones in the world are totally Mutter stones. We should go Basa the Rov. You should say Rov Vakarov Holchanachar Rov. So the Chassam Sofer answers very beautifully. The Chassam Sofer in a Tshuva, Neven Ezra, Chelik Aleph Simin Nun Zayin, says that over here we are going Basa the Rov. Because the Rov is not what are Rov of the rocks in the world. What are Rov Mashlichei Avanim? Most of the people who throw stones, why do they throw the stones? And we're talking about this case where a place where most of the people who have the practice of throwing rocks are Zorek Avanim Lamarkulis, throw rocks for the sake of Markulis. And Chassam Sofer says, I'll prove to you that that's the way to look at the case, as what are Rov Mashlichim and not just what are Rov stones doing there. I'll prove it to you from the famous Mishnah Maseches Machshirin. So you ask, well, there is no famous Mishnah Maseches Machshirin. There is. The Mishnah Maseches Machshirin tells us that let's say you find a tinok mushlach, you find an abandoned baby. So how do you know whether the baby's a Jew or a non-Jew? How do you treat the baby? Do you raise the baby to observe Torah mitzvos? What do you do with the baby? Is the baby a Jew? Is the baby a non-Jew? So the Mishnah says, Afilu Rubi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda says, we go basar rov mashlichei banim. We follow the rov, not of what the amount of the people, of the population in that area. We follow the rov mashlichei banim. Rov of the people who will abandon children. And rov of the abandoners of children happen to be shvachos. And since it happens to be shvachos, you treat the baby as if he's a non-Jew. And even the Tanakamu says that, look, if it's rov Yisrael, you have to assume it's a Jew, it's only b'shnas ravon, it's only during years of famine where Jews were abandoning babies also. But typically you look at the mashlichim. So says Chassam Sofer Ravir as well. These stones are obviously thrown in this area, they didn't just happen to be in this area, you have to say that ukimta, otherwise the whole analysis doesn't make sense, that you assume these stones were thrown in this area, and you don't look at rov of the people, rov of the stones in the world, you look at rov of the people who throw stones, and that's what you have to say. Okay, but that's how we frame the machlokas now, at least now, that we're saying that the machlokas is only when the stones are at some distance from the Markulis, the way Rashi understands it, some distance but within four amos, and the whole Machlokas revolves around whether they would make a miniature Markulis near the original Markulis, and even if they would make a miniature Markulis, it would only be with three stones, and that's why the Tanakama holds that with three, Rabbi Shmuel rather holds that with three stones, it's going to be problematic. Less than three stones, it won't be problematic. And the Chacham say, no, none of it is problematic unless it's very, very close where it actually could have fallen from the Markulis. Fine. Amar Mar. So says the Gemara, let's take a look. If you know that the stones had fallen from the Markulis, then everyone's going to hold that it's Aser. or a minhi, is that really so? I'll ask a contradiction. Avanim shenashu min amarkulis, even stones that have fallen from the markulis. Now over here, this brisa that we're quoting does not say avanim that are next to the markulis. It says avanim shenashu min amarkulis. Meaning, it sounds that the case is that we know where these stones came from. They fell off of the markulis. Nirosimo asuros, shein nirosimo mutaros. If they look to be together with the markulis, they're asur. If they don't appear to be together with the markulis, then they're mutar. For Rabbi Shmuel, omer shalosh asuros, shein mutaros. And Rabbi Shmuel says, no, it depends. Three stones are a problem, two stones are not a problem. Meaning, same exact shitos in our Mishnah, except one thing. We set up the case as a case of not stones that happen to be near the markulis, but stones that we know for sure fell from the markulis. How can we make a nukimta in the Gemara? That the whole machlokas in our Mishnah is only when you don't know that the stones fell from the markulis. When the Brisa says the same machlokas, it phrases it as stones that were known to have fallen from the markulis. Samarava, lote mishnashru elei mishnimtsu. Yeah, you got to change the words of the Brisa. That just doesn't work. You can't say shenashu. You have to say that we're talking about stones that were found near the markulis, but it can't be talking about stones that actually were detached from the markulis. So, frankly, Gemara v'savra Rabbi Shmuel shtayim mutaros. Wait a second, Rabbi Shmuel's shita. Does Rabbi Shmuel really hold that two stones found in the vicinity of the markulis within Dalet Amos are mutter? V'atanya Rabbi Shmuel omer shtayim b'tfisalo asuros. Rabbi Shmuel holds two that are within reach of the Markulis are Asur, and we're assuming Tfisa means Dalet Amos. So again, I'm reading the Gemara like Rashi. Other Rishonim have vastly different readings of this Gemara. But the way Rashi understands it, Shtayim b'Tfisalo means two stones within Dalet Amos, and we just said that within Dalet Amos is where Rabbi Shmuel is going to say three stones is a problem, because that's where they might be setting up a miniature Markulis, but two stones is not a problem. And here we have a price that says Shtayim b'Tfisalo is Asuros. Shalosh afilu Muruchakos Asuros, and three, even if it's Meruchakos, and now we're assuming the word Meruchakos means beyond Dalet Amos, which is, Tosfos points out, the problem with Rashi's reading of the Gemara, is that previously we said, Ki pligi be Meruchakos, and Rashi says, oh yeah, you know what Meruchakos means? Somewhere between one and four Amos. Now the very same word, Meruchakos, means beyond Dalet Amos. So it's, you know, smack in the middle of the Gemara, we change terminology. It's not strange that the Gemara will use the same word to mean different things in different places. What's strange is for the Gemara to use the same word in the same sugya, discussing the same type of issue, and it's going to mean different things. That's very strange. But anyway, Rashi assumes that, yeah, over here, Meruchakos means beyond Dalet Amos. But bottom line is, it's a problem. How can you say that Rabbi Shmuel holds that Shtayim is a problem? I'm sorry, how could we say that Rabbi Shmuel Shtayim is not a problem anywhere within four Amos? Over here we say that if it's within four Amos, Shtayim is a problem. Amar av lo kasha, kan b'tfisa achas, kan b'shtei tfisos. It depends whether it's in one grasp or two grasps of the Avodah Zarah. What does that mean? Ve'chidami, dika gova beni beni. So now we're going back to the drawing board, we're changing the whole thing. When we said that it's aser, it's b'tfisa achas, means that it's within four Amos and there's nothing separating between the Markulis and these stones. That's when Rabbi Shmuel is going to say it's asr. And now Rashi assumes we're backtracking on the whole previous ukimta, and we're saying that within Dalet Amos is a problem. That everyone's going to hold within Dalet Amos is a problem. If you look at Rashi, b'tfisa achas, hadiktani asuros b'tfisa achas she'ein hefsek beinom l'markulis v'asura bein l'Rabbi Shmuel bein l'Rabbanan. Then now we're saying anywhere within four Amos is a problem according to everybody. The cult of Dalet Amos nirosimo karile. Nirosimo is not like Rashi said before, meant that it was right next to it, like a tefach next to it. No, over here nirosimo, we're assuming nirosimo means within four Amos. U'bishalosh muruchakos hu depligi. The whole machlokas in the Mishnah is if you find three stones that are more than four Amos away. V'adu kimnu le'el pluktai b'tok Dalet Amos. We said before that they're arguing within four Amos, where Rabbi Shmuel would say that two stones are mutter, and the Rabbanan would say even three stones are mutter within four Amos. Yeah, that's b'shteit tfisos. That's when it's within four Amos, but there's something separating. There's like a wall separating between the Markulis and these found stones. So that's why the case, that's why we said the Machlokas is even within four Amos, only when there's a wall between them. As the Gemara says, what does it mean? Shtei tfisos? Dika gova beni beni, where there's a wall between them, separating from them. So you know for sure that it couldn't have fallen from the Markulis to that area. So frak the Gemara, umarkulis ki agavna mi havi. Wait a second, how can you even suggest that it might be a markulis if it's three stones that are lined up next to each other? Is that really the formation of a markulis? Vatanya elu einavne beis kulis, achas mikan v'achas mikan v'achas al gabayin. A markulis is formed like a pyramid. If it's not formed like a pyramid, isn't that very clearly a raya that it's not a markulis? Amarava kitanya hi be'ikr markulis. Now the original markulis is always formed like a pyramid, but any add-ons that come in afterwards don't have to be formed like a pyramid. They don't have to make a whole bunch of pyramids next to each other. So any add-ons that are next to the Markulis could take on the status of a Markulis, even if it's not a pyramid. Right? This Rashi says, Ikar Markulis tchilaso, avokata nanasa b'tzara gadol, avno kaldu. But if you happen to make a small Markulis next to the big one, like Rabbi Shmuel says they were in the habit of doing, so the small Markulis next to the big one could even be three stones that are right next to each other. Now this idea of tfisa achas versus shtei tfisos, in Maseches Chulin, Daf Kuf Zayin, the Gemara tells us about the Isser to be Ma'ale Basar Ugvin al Shulchan Echad, to have meat and cheese brought on the same table, on the same table. And the Gemara says that it's Asr Lahalos Basum Gvin al Shulchan Echad Ela Ke'en Tfisa Achas. So unless it's Tfisa Achas, meaning it's only problem when it's Tfisa Achas. What does it mean it's only problem when it's Tfisa Achas? So Tosos says it's exactly what it means over here. Tfisa Achas, when there's nothing interposing between between the Markulis, the original Markulis, and these stones that you found. So that's what the Gemara Chulin means also. You have Basra and Gvin on the same table. It's a problem if there's nothing interposing, nothing blocking from one to the other. But, says Tosos, you put a kankan, a pitcher, something, some wall, you build some wall between the person eating the meat and the person eating the cheese, and that's going to be mutter. The minhag also, Tosos points out, although this doesn't seem to really fit, is if you're eating on two separate placemats, that's also enough of a hecker, even though it doesn't seem to fit our definition exactly of tfisa achas, but that's the minhag, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that's also sufficient, that if you eat on placemats, and you have different placemats for the person eating milk and the person eating flesh, that would be mutter. This is a very important halacha. You have to be, I know in yeshiva, sometimes kids will bring in their own lunch, fleishig, milchig, and they'll want to eat together. So we have to be very careful. You have to set up milchig tables, fleishig tables, or have them at placemats. Very important halacha. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Be'yanei Malka Charuv, the house of Yanei HaMelech was destroyed. Why was the house of Yanei HaMelech destroyed? What did he do that his house was destroyed? So there's a medrash that says that all the cities of Yanei were destroyed al shvuas emes, because he was in the habit of taking shvuos. Not that he took shvuos sheker. They were all shvuos emes. But you shouldn't take shvuos even if they are emes, right? That's the halacha. Shulchan Aruch says, Nor Chaim Simen Kuf Nun Vav, person should be nizar milishava afilu be'emes, from taking shvuos even if it's going to be a truthful shvua. And the Bir Agra points out that the makar is from that medrash. I don't know if the Bir Agra points out, but the makar is from the Achrona point out the makar is from that medrash that Yanei HaMelech's houses were all destroyed because of, and his cities were all destroyed because he took shvuos emes. And the Gemara in Gittin of course says, Ma misha nishba be'emes kach, if this is what happens to someone who swears truthfully, can you imagine what the onesh is for someone who swears non-truthfully? Right. So Beyani Malkachar, so his house was destroyed. Also of the Kav Mokimu Be Markulis, a certain of the Avodah Zarah came along and they built the Markulis out of the stones of his house. Also of the Kav Machrini, to lo palchi the Markulis. Other of the Kachavim came along who didn't worship Markulis. They weren't enamored with that Avodah Zarah. Shaklinu v'chiva ben drachim v'satra ta'os. So they took the stones and they paved roads with it. They built theaters with it. They used those stones as building materials because they didn't worship Markulis. So yikar abanu deparshi v'yikar abanu delo parshi. So how did the rabbis treat those roads? So like most things, the rabbis disagreed. Some rabbis would stay away from them. Other rabbis did not stay away from them. Right? Some Rabbi Yochanan benon shel kedoshim halichalein vanan nifushmen. Rabbi Yochanan says such a chumrah, it's a chutzpah for us to be machmir. The benon shel kedoshim is megil, and we're going to go and show ourselves to be frumer than him. That's the definition of yuhara. The Yerushalmi says that they saw that I forgot who, two of the Amoraim saw someone doing a certain chumrah, and they said, who is this person doing this chumrah? It's a chutzpah right in front of us. He's doing such a chumrah. And then they said, well, you know, if it's my Talmud who's known as a kaddish and a tahar and a whatever, then it's okay. And they found that attack was him, and they said, you know, we should have put you in nidui if it weren't that you were you. So the definition of yuhara, according to many posts, poskim is doing in front of others who are great tzaddikim, who aren't machmir like that, to go and show that you're going to be machmir, that you're going to have a different shita. That's yura. So the Benan Shel Kedoshim goes on these roads, and we're going to show that we're firmer than him, that we don't go on these roads. Anan nifrosh man. So maninu Benan Shel Kedoshim. Only one thing. Who is this Benan Shel Kedoshim? Who is this guy? So Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Simai. It happens to be Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Simai. That's a very cool nickname. How did he get the nickname Benan Shel Kedoshim? So I would have thought it had something to do with his parents. Apparently not. It had to do with him. So that even he would not even look at the tzura, at the image on a coin. That he was so careful about avodah zarah issues that there was an image embossed on a coin. He wouldn't look at that image. So Frek Tosos, is that really a chasidus? That's a din. Tosos says, if you look at Tosos Achi Garcina and halfway through the Tosos, Vim Tomer Ma Chasidus Ikabazeh Hamim Perk Shoal Di Yukna Atzma Asura Listakel Afilu Bechol K'dichsev Al Tifnu El Alidim. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos that you're not allowed to look at the image of a coin. Pasuk says Al Tifnu El Alidim. So of course you can't look at the coin. What's the big chasidus over here? So Tosos over here answers V'shema B'tzurasa D'zuz Shor. Maybe it's not a violation of Al Tifnu El Ha'ililim when you don't really have to turn to see it, when it's always there, it's a coin that's just always used and it's always right in front of you and it's something you see constantly. Maybe that would not be a violation of Al Tifnu El Ha'ililim. But if it's a coin that's not so commonly seen, then it would be a violation. But he was makbid even on pennies and quarters and everything else, even on coins that were normal use and that you always had available to you. That's how Tosfos says over here. Tosfos Masechta Shabbos has a different answer. Tosfos says it's dafka b'tiyukna asuya l'shem avodah zarah that it's aser. It's only aser of al tifnu el alilim when the image was made l'shem avodah zarah. No one worships that I know of Abraham Lincoln. So you know, if you have an image of Abraham Lincoln or George Washington on a coin, so it's likely that they're not being worshipped. They're not certainly not made l'shem avodah zarah. They're made l'shem noy or kavod or whatever. So that's really mutter. But the Benan Shel Kedoshim was machmir not to be mistakel b'tzurasa d'zuzah. Now the Magen Avraham writes in Siman Shin Zayin Sif Kon Chav Gimel that the Minhag HaOlam is like Tosos Masechta Shabbos, not like Tosos here, meaning only coins that are made l'shem avodah zarah are actually aser. Tosos here would say that any coin is a rare coin, you shouldn't be allowed to look at the tzura. Now the Magen Avraham writes also that you have to be careful with the lashon. The Gemara says asur lehistakel, you're not allowed to be mistakel at the image. It does not say asur liros. It's the usher to see the image. This is a very important idea in halacha. We have lots of halachos that the geder of the isser is an isser of histaklus, not an isser of re'iyah. It's also lehistakel afilu be'etzba ketana shel isha. You're not allowed to be mistakel even at an etzba ketana of a woman. Are you not allowed to see even an etzba ketana of a woman? Hard to say that. Then you would never be allowed to leave your house. Right? You're allowed to see a woman, you're just not allowed to be mistakel at the etzba ketana. Mistakel means to gaze intently, to look at, trying to derive hanah from. You're not allowed to be mistakel at a rainbow. But there's a halacha that when you see a rainbow, you have to make a bracha. Well, isn't that a mitzvah baba avera then? Every time you see the rainbow, haven't you by definition violated, right, the mitzvah baba avera? That's what one of the poskim actually suggests in a serious vein. He said the shaila was, you make a bracha on the Queen of England when you see the Queen of England. So one of the poskim says, what do you mean, see the Queen of England? It's also l'stakel d'isha. How could you see the Queen of England? So the answer is, no, it's not usher to see the Queen of England. It's usher, if one is so inclined, to be mistakel at the Queen of England. That would be the isser. So that's that over here as well. The isser is to be mistakel at the image on the coin, not to be roeh, the image on the coin. Now, from the Shar Mitzion Ba'alach over here says that you could bring a raya from this Tosfos to what it says in the Sefer Derech Pikudecha B'Shem V'Levush. It also became a very well-known Levush. The Poskim Nevin Ezer, Simon Samach Bey, say that if you're at a chasana that has mixed seating, where Anashim and Nashim B'Cheder Echad are in the same room, so when you bench at such a chasana, you should leave out the bracha of Sha'asimcha B'Ma'ono. She'ein Simcha B'Makam She'etzar Har that there's no simcha when the Yetzer Hara is there, when men and women are intermingling like that. So the Levush said, nowadays we're not careful about that. We have mixed chasanas and people make the bracha shesimcha mono. We don't have any problem with that. Why? Because nashim were galus b'neinu harbe b'nanashim. because you go. It used to be that women wouldn't be found in the streets. They wouldn't be. Nowadays, you go to the office, there are women there. You go to the supermarket, you go anywhere you go, there are men, women there, and that's we're used to them. So when we're used to having them around, so it's not going to cause you, having them around is not going to cause hirurim. Being mistakel is going to cause hirurim, but having them around is not going to cause hirurim, and therefore it's not going to be a problem of saying shasimcha mono. So he says that's very similar to what Tosfos is saying over here, that if it's a coin, that's something that you always have, you always see, so it's not going to cause you to start looking at the Avodah Zarah and having Avodah Zarah thoughts. That's not a violation of Al Tifnu El Elinim. When is it a violation of Al Tifnu? When it's rare, when it's an oddity, when it's something new, when there's some chiddush. Okay, anyway, but that's the famous comment of the Levush. Says the Gemara Vayter, my time in the Manda Parish, so what was the reason for those who stayed away from these roads that were paved with the destroyed house of Yanai HaMelech that had previously been made into a Markulis? How do we know Tekrobos Avodah Zarah can never be batel? So you see that Avodah Zarah, just like a mace, can never be batel. Tekrobos Avodah Zarah, not Avodah Zarah itself. It's interesting, Avodah Zarah itself can become batel. Tekrobos Avodah Zarah, though, can't become batel. Why is Tekrobos treated more seriously than the Avodah Zarah itself? So the Taz in Yerodea Kuflam Tes Sivkat and Dalid writes, because the Alil Atzmo, the Avodah Zarah itself, is talui on its shlemos. When it's not shalem, so then it's not going to be used as an Avodah Zarah. No one's going to worship it. But when it comes to Krovas, so people will be makrav anything. They'll be makrav a kolduhu l'Avodah Zarah. So it won't lose its status of Tekrovas Avodah Zarah ever, no matter how much it gets broken down. But the Avodah Zarah itself, when it gets broken down to a certain point, it loses its status as an Avodah Zarah. There are other explanations, but that's the simple explanation. Umandalo Parish, the one who didn't stay away from these roads, Amar Bi'ina Ke'en Pnim V'lekha, he says, in order for it to be a Tekrovas Avodah Zarah that's never batel, it has to be the kind of thing that would be used as an Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And stones are never brought as the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rav Yosef bar Abba, Ikla Rabba bar Yirmiyah la'asrin v'asa v'aisi masnisa b'yadei. Rabba bar Yirmiyah came to our town and he brought a certain teaching in his hand, and it was as follows. Ovid chavim shevi avonim in Markulis v'chivu ben drachum mitartiyos mutaros. If a guy brings stones from Markulis and he paves roads with it, so that's fine. Those roads are mutar. Yisrael shevi avonim in Markulis v'chivu ben drachum v'sartiyos asuros. A Jew goes and brings stones from Markulis and he paves the road with it, they're going to be aser. Veles nagar velo bar nagar diyafrakine. And we don't have any chacham or any son of a chacham who could explain to us exactly what that teaching is. Some Rav Sheshes ana lo nagar ana velo bar nagar ana. He says, look, I'm not a chacham, I'm not the son of a chacham. I don't know why he's allowed to say that about his father, but he says, I'm not the chacham, nor am I the son of a chacham. But uparkinele, I'll still be able to explain this to you. So says Amar, my kushile, what was difficult? So what was difficult about the teaching? So says Gemara, no, what was difficult about the teaching is Rav Gidl being Ken Pnim Veleka. That Rav Gidl said that Rav Gidl. So Rashi explains, what's the Rav Gidl? They ain't bitl to Kroves. Vach Ketani Mutaras. What was difficult? What was difficult was Rav Gidl said that the only thing that's going to be Aser is if something that's Ken, that Rav Gidl said that you can only be Mevatel Avodah Zarah itself. You can never be Mevatel to Kroves Avodah Zarah. So that's what was difficult about the teaching. Why is it that when the guy brings it, it's going to be Mutter? I thought you're not allowed to be Mevatel in Avodah Zarah. And says Gemara, Bina Ken Pnim Veleka. But the way he explained it was, yeah, but stones are not ke'en pnin. They are not things that we would use as worship in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it's not a problem. Amar Rav Yosef bar Abba, once we're discussing teachings that we had difficulty understanding until someone came along and explained it to us, so Amar Rav Yosef bar Abba, Ikla Rab bar Yirmiyah la'asra, Rab bar Yirmiyah came to our town, and he brought the following teaching in his hand. You're allowed to be matliya, you're allowed to take, deworm a tree during Shemitah year, and you're also, when there's a tree that has a problem, you're allowed to attach some zevel to it so that the tree won't die. During the Shemitah year, that's mutter. But you're not allowed to do that during the moed. Kan v'kan in megazmin, and both on Shemitah and during Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to be megazim. You're not allowed to cut off certain branches in order that more healthy branches should grow in there. V'sachin shemen ligzam ben b'moed ben b'shvius. But you could you could rub it with oil in order that it could grow nicer, both during Shemitah and Chol HaMoed. V'les nagar v'lo bar nagar d'pirkane, and no one's able to explain that teaching to us. So what does that mean? Amar Ravina anolo nagar anav lo bar nagar anam farkinila. Ravina says, I have no problem. I could explain it to you, even though I'm not a chacham nor the son of a chacham. So my kakashale, what exactly was troubling about the teaching? Ile m'moed ha-shvi is kakashale. If you say that what was troubling about it was the stira between moed and shvi'is, that why is it that we're more makil during Chol HaMoed than we are during Shemitah? Maishna shvi'is to shari. Why is it? I'm sorry. The other way around. Why is it that by Shemitah it's mutter, maishna moed to aser, and by Chol HaMoed it's aser? So midami, you can't compare the two. Shvi'is melacha aser rachmana. Tircha shari. The nature of the iser is totally different. By Shemitah, melacha is what's aser. Tircha is mutter. Moed afilu tircha nami aser. Moed, even tircha alone is going to be aser, even if it's not technically melacha. Velazium agizum kakashale. No, what must have really been troubling us is the difference between zium and gizum. Maisha zihum de shari, umaisha gizum da aser. Why is it that zihum is permitted, but gizum is aser? So says Gemara Midami, how can you compare the two? Zium ukume ilana vishari. Zium only helps to keep the tree going, keep it healthy, keep it standing, therefore it's mutter. Gizum ivruya ilana vaser. Gizum is to make the tree healthier, and therefore it's aser. No, the real stira was zihum versus zihum. The katani, because it says on the one hand, matlinu mezahamin b'shvius, that you're allowed to be mezahim the tree during Shemitah, or a mini, but we have a stira. Mezahamin esan antios v'korchon osan v'kotmin osan v'oslan batim u'mashkin osan ad Rosh Hashanah. That you can only be mezahim the trees when? Until Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. What does that tell you? Ad Rosh Hashanah in Bishvi is low, but you're not allowed to be mezayim the trees during Shemitah. So you see, it's a stira that we said in this teaching that Zium is mutter during Shvius, but we know from elsewhere that Zium is usher during Shvius. Says the Gemara, Vidilma k'dravukva barchama. Maybe the answer is like Ravukva barchama. Damer Ravukva barchama, trei kishkushe havu. Chad l'rvuye ilane, v'aser v'chad l'stumir pili v'shari. It depends. Sometimes you could do the same action, but could have two different goals in doing it. One is to just make the tree healthier, and one is to keep the tree going, keep the tree standing, and one is to actually improve the tree, make improvements on the tree. So when you're digging just to keep the tree, maintain the tree's health, that's mutter. But when it's to improve the tree, make it better, that's going to be aser. Sachanami over here as well. Trezi amu mehavi chadu kimelani v'shari v'chadu ruy elani v'aser. So there are two ways of being mezayim a tree. One is to just maintain the tree, and one is to improve the tree. So that can't be the difficulty. So what was our difficulty? The difficulty must have been the stira within sicha. Dikatani, because it says over here, sachin shem and ligzom, bein v'moed, bein v'shvius, that you're allowed to do the sicha both in moed and shvius, uriminhu, but we learned elsewhere, sachin asapagin, u'menachin, u'fatin, u'son, Ad Rosh Hashanah in Bishvius Lo, that you can only be Sach, you can only anoint it with oil up until Rosh Hashanah, not after it, not during the Shemitah year. So says Mar Midami, Hachu Kumi Ilana Vishari, Hasam Ptumi Pira Va'aser. It depends. If it's to keep the tree standing, it's mutter. If it's to make the fruits fatter, that's aser. So we'll stop there and we'll continue the discussion of Sicha and of what exactly the problem was with the Spisa, Bezras Hashem, tomorrow.